The management of this station would like to apologize for anything that may offend you on today's show. Specifically, we'd like to preemptively say we're sorry to women, men, children, the elderly, pets, all major world religions, the governors of all 50 states and their families, Heidi and Spencer Pratt, and anyone who requested a song we did not play. Let's return to the show, which will remain nameless so we can use this apology again in the event we need to fire them after giving in to protesters. And now, for now, here's...
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
A new car alarm attacks thieves' self-esteem. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The SoundQuest car alarm company announced a breakthrough today that goes further than merely scaring thieves away with loud noises. The company's new anti-auto theft system harshly attacks would-be criminal self-esteem, blaring such messages as, "You are a loser," and "What's the matter? Couldn't get your GED?" Company spokesperson Ben Riegert.
Any car thief trying to steal a car armed with our alarm system will end up in a ball, crying like a baby. I mean, these things can hurt you.
Riegert adds the company is working to develop an alarm capable of projecting pictures of the thief's girlfriend sleeping with his best friend, Roberto. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents... Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father.
Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father.
When you were a kid, you swore you'd never turn out like your old man. But now that you have kids, it turns out you swear just like your old man.
You lousy kids, clean.
Sure, you want your kids to think you're hip and happening, but still find yourself screaming, "Turn down that awful jungle music for crying out loud!"
And you don't care how you dress.
You've had that members-only jacket for 25 years.
Even the Goodwill doesn't want it.
So the next time you find yourself saying, "Back in the good old days," or "This must be the new man," look in the mirror, ignore your nose hair, and say hello to Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy is turning into his father.
Come here, boy. Pull my finger.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the Morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, everyone. It's October 6th, Tuesday.
All day.
All day, huh?
All day.
Are you awake?
You know what it is?
You're unusually quiet.
No, what it is that I'm feeling very yoga hippie-ish today.
Really?
Well, I went yesterday to have my chart read and by Solaris, uh-huh. Who's been our guest here. This morning I'm drinking tea, and I usually have my quadruple latte.
Yes.
And so I was like, it was yesterday, and they made me, well, they didn't make me, but I just felt like I was in a place where I had to have tea. Like, everyone was very, you know, hip and just like grunge type, uh-huh. And it just felt like a tea kind of place, you
I
know?
See, okay.
So it was good, and I never really liked tea before, and they told me what to put in it, so I did. So then this morning when I was going to Starbucks, I'm like, I think I'm going to try tea again today.
Really?
But now really what I want to do is take a nap. So, but I said to them when they were making it for me, I said, there is caffeine in here, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you went through something profound yesterday? Is that why?
I don't know. I'm on a new path. But let me tell you, though, as I was driving here, I thought about stopping at Starbucks again and getting my latte. After I already had this one, I'm like, maybe I should get my latte. But I thought I would try something new.
Yeah, but you'll definitely go back to the coffee.
Yes. This is good to wind down at night with, I guess, which is why people drink tea, you know?
Yeah. It makes you sleepy. It doesn't wake you up, you know?
Well, no, but there's caffeine in there.
There is, but tea is something to relax with.
Okay, let me sit up. I'm going to be awake. I am awake. I'm actually not tired, although I did wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
Really?
Yes.
What happened?
Another profound moment in my life.
Oh, yeah? Let's hear all about
that. Why can't I ever just have an average day?
I don't know. You must be attracting a lot of elements.
I don't know. I like it, though. I've been sleeping really well lately, and this morning, I think it's maybe because I read something in my... I read daily Om. Om. I read that.
Oh, God. You're worse off than I thought.
That's terrible. Okay, so I was reading a website. I get like an email to me and stuff, and part of it was about like using your mornings productively, you know, and maybe waking up earlier than you should, and you know, talking to the universe or whatever it is.
4 o'clock in the morning.
No, but I didn't purpose. I think it was in my subconscious. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I woke up at 4:30, and I said, okay, well, what do I do now? I did my normal thing, is that I went on Facebook.
What else do you do?
Well, I realized people on the East Coast are awake at that time, so I knew they'd have something to say. Uh-huh. And then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go back to bed. And then I just laid there, and I couldn't fall asleep. And I said, there's a reason why I'm up. Mm. And I looked outside, and I was like, maybe I should watch the sunrise this morning.
Ah.
And I'm on the top floor of my building, mm-hmm. and so I decided to go up to the roof. I like bundled up in some clothing and I went on the roof.
You sat on your stoop?
Listen, stoop. No, I sat on my roof.
I see, okay.
And I watched the sunrise.
Yeah?
Yeah, and...
That's amazing.
It was, because it was 6:30. Well, it's funny, it was like 6:27, and I said, what time is the sunrise? I don't know why, I just couldn't go up there, but I had to find out what time it was going to be at, and it said 6:28. I was like, I have a minute to get up there! Go! Like, it's just going to suddenly disappear, the sunrise. And I went up there, and it was really nice. I mean, whoever really takes the time to do that, you know, and it was like Los Angeles, really quiet, nothing going on, and it was me and a couple of birds, and
that's cool.
I had a really nice morning.
Yeah, I love early mornings. It's cool, you know, when everybody's still asleep and everything.
Yeah, but you're probably still asleep at that time.
I was asleep, yeah.
You look exhausted. I know it's never a nice thing to say to somebody, but you look fucking tired.
I do. Well, I am.
You want some tea? I heard it wakes you up.
Gotta do it. No, I've got plenty of coffee here that burns my tongue every time.
Again, here we go. Do you want to switch? Because I need some coffee.
You do, huh? Do you take sugar in your coffee?
No.
Okay, so you can't drink mine.
Okay,
mine's
fine.
Very sweet.
You gotta have some sweetness in you somewhere.
Yeah, 3 teaspoons of sugar.
Like pure sugar? White sugar?
Yeah, white sugar.
Wow. Well, I guess they say that's better for you than like Splenda and Equal and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, you gotta understand, I don't eat anything that's good for me. It's not a consideration when I eat.
Wow. I don't do anything good for you. I also found out that July 14th, 2012, I will be having twins.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, according to my chart.
According to your chart, you're going to have twins.
Well, it was funny because...
Well, at least you live that long. That's a good thing.
It's only 3 years from now.
Yeah, well, you know, you never know.
Yeah, that's true. I could get hit by a bus.
Oh, God forbid.
Try not to think about these things, Sam. But again...
I know. I always think about this. Let's see. 2012. Will I still be around?
I'm busy thinking about life and creating life, and you're like, me, the good thing you're not dead.
Yeah. So you'll be creating life, two of them, actually.
Well,
in 3 years.
Well, the funny thing is that, you know, when she was here, she told me that it was in 6 years. And then when she actually looked at my chart, she said, I have some bad news, I guess, for you, since you don't want kids. I'm like, what? And she said, it looks like it's going to be earlier than you thought. And like, she went and looked up at the exact date, and she said, it's, you know, that date. And I was like, okay, someone's wearing 3 condoms. I'm going on birth control. And there will be no children that day. And then when she emailed me later, she said, I didn't really want to tell you this in person. She said, but that birth date or whatever it is, she's like, it's in the Gemini or whatever, which means twins. So there's a high likeliness that you'll have twins. And then I just started laughing because you know when you resist something so much, like it's usually attracted to you. I said, that would be my luck, is that I don't want kids and I would end up with twins. So
come on, be positive.
Well, I said, I mean, my friend was like, really, Sherry? And I said, listen, if I have kids at that point, obviously I'm ready for them, you know. Right. I'm not gonna have children if I don't want them. So now suddenly, like, I wake up in the morning going, am I going to be a mom? And I'm like, stop thinking about it. See, I'm going to manifest kids is what's really going to happen.
There you
know,
go.
Like all this energy I'm putting into not wanting them. So, I don't know. But it was an interesting day. And then I decided I would go and have drinks.
Did you tell you anything that was profound or I mean, was did she sort of like tell you things about yourself that nobody else could know?
Well, it wasn't like she was giving me like a background, you know, like a psychic type thing. It was more, right. I mean, I think when she was here, like I really felt that she knew who I was before. Like she said, you know, I was, you know, this lifetime I'm here to like to spread wisdom and all this kind of stuff, even before she kind of knew me, you know, because really all she ever heard was me talking about sex. So, I mean,
that's true. Well, that's wisdom too.
that is, depending on who is listening and who needs to hear the wisdom. So that was like a lot of the reading was about like this lifetime and me, you know, being like my purpose here on earth and, you know, sharing that and in a grand scheme. She also said that you were going to be a large part of my success. Yeah, like
how
being,
is that
like
happen?
Being here.
Oh,
in this
by, being
yeah,
here.
Like okay. You helping me out in some way.
Yeah, well, eventually it'll be Sherry in the morning, you know. I'll just be the assistant.
You'll be like sweeping up at the end of the day.
Yeah, there you go. Catering to you.
I love that.
Can I get you some coffee, Miss Sherry?
Oh my God, that sounds so good. Yeah. Will you? You know what's funny is that you made yourself the assistant and I made you the janitor.
Yeah. Same thing.
You said assistant. I'm like, you'll be sweeping.
Yeah. No, you'll get there. You'll get to where you want to get. I'm sure.
No, it was fun and
you could easily be Oprah, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. But, now, like, after being here, shut up. You're looking at me like, uh-huh. And after being here, like, I'm realizing I don't need to be Oprah, you know? I just need to be me. You know, and whatever level that takes me to.
Yeah, but you're pretty ambitious. I mean, you want bigger and better things.
Oh, yeah, sure. Always. No, I want big things.
The whole world needs to know Sherry. Right?
We're going to try not to say my name 8,000 times today.
Okay, well, I'm trying. People love hearing their names.
That was one thing she said yesterday, and she said, you know, you're a Leo, but you're not so much, you know, all about the attention and all these things. And I was like, well.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
No, I said, well, I used to be a lot worse when I was younger. Like,
really?
Yeah, I used to have to get credit for everything. Like, if I ever said something or did something and someone else got credit for it, I'd be like, hello. I said that.
It's important we know that.
Yes, now, like, I will totally just, like, let it go and, you know, just be okay with, like, knowing in my own heart, you know what I mean? It's not important for the world to know.
I suppose not. What does the world need to know?
Right this moment?
Yeah.
Then I need coffee.
Okay, wrong question.
That's such a large, broad question.
Yeah.
What does the world need to know from you today?
From me?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That I had a big fight with someone yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, a war of words.
Okay.
And a big asshole.
Are they listening?
Probably not.
Okay, because they probably think you're an asshole too.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into that. But what amazes me is the shit that people build up in their head,
mm-hmm.
you know, thinking they know what's going on. And it's like, and then you go, where the fuck did you get that, you know? How did you possibly come to this conclusion, you know?
Well, it's their own thoughts going on in their head. They process things their own way, and they hear things that they want to hear.
Exactly, and then they're angry with you, you know?
But you know what happens? When you fight back, they never end up hearing the truth, because it's just a constant fight going on.
Oh, yeah, they didn't even want to hear the truth. It's like constantly shouting mm-hmm. and screaming. And
so it didn't get resolved, obviously.
No, obviously not.
If you want, I'll be the mediator.
I don't think.
All right, you guys sit down.
You won't succeed in this one.
Hold hands. I don't know. You'd be surprised at the things that I've solved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it amazes me, you know. I mean, because most people I get along so well with and everything, you know. And then every once in a while, somebody will, you know, will come up and say, "Oh, you're this. You're an asshole. You're this. You're that." You know.
They're stirring up things within you.
Yeah, it's because, and then you wonder, what have they must gone through during their life, you know? I mean, what made them, like, this fucked up?
Why are you such an asshole? What did your mom do to you?
Yeah.
But it's true, though. I was actually thinking about that yesterday, about compassion for people. And, you know, because sometimes I've been, you know, it's very rare that I'm mean.
Yeah.
But there's been times that you can catch me on an off day.
Really?
And if people would judge me, like, I think about how people are like, oh, this person's, such, like you're saying, such an asshole or this or that, and not really realizing that sometimes we just have bad days, and just to be like more forgiving of others, you know, because we've all been in those moments where we've been, you know, douchebags.
Yeah, I guess
or whatever,
we have
you know?
Been, yeah.
And sometimes we got to let things slide a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, and then if I do it again.
I can't let things slide. Yeah. It's like, I think deep inside I like to fight.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, Sam.
Yeah. No, I get a big mouth when I start fighting. I mean, forget about it.
Are you a cursor? You're just like, definitely. Fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
So, of course, he didn't hear anything except because you're both so angry yelling at each other.
Exactly.
Nothing's right.
Yeah, nobody can hear anything.
Yeah. You know what? The best thing to do is, and I know it sounds like whatever, but like just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know that on MySpace, like 3 years ago, I had like this young kid and he wrote to me out of nowhere. I had no idea who he was. And he said, for being such an old woman, you're such a whore, something like that.
Oh my God.
But he didn't even know me. My page was private. Like he just was like some young kid. And at first, my first instinct is to be like, what the fuck? First of all, you're calling me old.
Yeah.
The whore part didn't even bother me. It was the old comment. Yeah. But I was just like,
one out of two in
I was like, where's this coming from? And I thought, well, I can either write back and be like, that is so rude and da da da. But I decided to write back. All I wrote was, peace and love to you.
Really?
Yeah. And then the next day, and this is like from a kid that was like 15 years old. The next day he wrote back and he said, hey, you know what? He was like, I don't even know why I said that. I'm really sorry that I said that. He was like, I hope you can forgive me.
Yeah.
And I wrote back. I was like, of course I can. You're a kid. You're going through shit.
Yeah.
And he said, thank you. And I guarantee you, like, I was actually shocked that he wrote that.
Yeah.
But I guarantee that if I had, like, gone back to him and been like, what is wrong with you? Your parents didn't teach you. Like, it would have just gotten into a verbal battle.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
And, like, he never would have heard anything. But he must have felt like such a douche.
Yeah.
Like, to write something so mean to a stranger and for me to be like, peace and love to you.
Yeah. You see, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Man. I got to get back. You know?
But you still feel bad. You still feel bad though. You fought back and you're still upset by it.
Yeah.
Well, that really helped. Good job there, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's letting out steam, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta do it sometimes. At least I do, otherwise I explode.
Yeah.
You know?
You can go boxing, right?
I suppose.
You can yell on me on air if you need to. I'll just sit in the corner and cry.
Okay.
Okay. All right, you'll be my bitch.
Yeah. No, that's going a little too far there.
Whatever makes you happy, Sam.
Yeah.
You know what happened? I realized I do. Once we go on air, I like for some reason think there's a camera here, and like I always fix my hair like right before we're about to go on air, like they can actually see me.
Yeah.
That's
I didn't
weird.
Think you're fixing your hair because of that. It just it keeps going in your eyes.
Well,
no,
right now. But I'm talking about right before we come on. Like
right.
I'm like that.
Oh, you straightened out your hair and everything.
Yeah, and I'm like fixing.
Well, you
stuff.
Know I'm gonna be looking at you for a couple hours.
Yeah,
you better look good. Well, I'll throw you out of here.
It's one of the reasons why I get up in the morning, don't put makeup on, because I'm like I gotta sit across from Sam, and he talks about pretty girls all day. I guess I gotta look cute.
Yeah.
Or I might get fired. No, actually, it's a Jewish thing.
It is.
Yeah,
huh?
My mom and my grandmother, when I was young, like from a young age, are like, never leave home without your face on, Sherry. You never know who you're going to meet in the day. Da 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 da. Like, you know, like you never, like really, you never know. You could go to the hospital. Something could happen. You could meet someone on the street. You always have to look good. And
yeah. So, no, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I always shave and stuff, even though I don't have to, you know?
Yeah.
Because you want to look presentable.
Right.
I mean, it's about how you feel about yourself,
right.
I think.
Oh, yeah,
you
totally.
Know?
When I, like, go out, like, in sweats or whatever, like, I always just feel like all, you know.
I know.
I mean, but I'll go next door, like, to the grocery store and things like that. Like, I'll throw a baseball cap on in the morning. I'm not getting, like, all done up.
Yeah.
But, like, when I'm going out for the day, I definitely get, you know, ready.
Yeah. And it's funny because sometimes when I don't get dressed or shave or anything, I get more attention from women than I do otherwise, you know?
Well, because you have
so
that, like, grunge, like, you know.
I suppose.
That
I don't
kind
know.
Of look. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like you don't want to be seen like that, you know?
Why not? It's hot. It's a bad boy look, you know? Like a little unkempt, you know?
Yeah.
You're not like all like, oh, I'm all American. I'm a nerd.
God,
I don't know why being clean like a nerd.
The things that women find interesting and turn on.
Well, it's not
man.
All women. It's me.
Yeah,
I suppose. Let's not generalize.
Okay, let's generalize. It's fine. We can do
okay,
that.
Okay, let's generalize. Yesterday on Facebook, everything's about Facebook, but I messed up on my computer, like there was dust, and so I went and just swept it clean with my hand, and I suddenly like changed the font size and everything, and I was like, and I'm not very good with change sometimes, like technical things, and so it freaked me out, and the first thing I did was make an update about, you know, what do I do, and it was just funny because like 10 men all responded like on how to fix it, and there wasn't like one woman that responded on, like on how to fix the computer, and it was just so funny to me because it was just like I just took it as, oh, here we are, men always trying to like fix things and help women, you know, whereas my other post will have girls like responding and things like that, you know.
Kind of like, how does it make you feel?
How did it make you feel that the font changed on you? I don't know, a little uncomfortable, vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck fixing it, you know. Let me just
let's talk about it. You're dumb. Oh, wow. Oh, God. And then I had somebody else write me. This guy, just a stranger, wrote, "Wow, you're beautiful." This was on Facebook yesterday. And I just wrote back, "Oh, thank you." And then he wrote back, "Are you into younger men?" And I had to go look at how old he was. And he was like 29 or 30. And I was just like, yeah, how old does he think I am? Like, yeah. To be like, 'cause you only ask that when you're at least like 10 or 15 years older. You know, are you into younger men? He's only like 5 years younger than me. I suddenly felt so old again. Yeah. I was just like, what is this age thing going on?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still younger than you.
I know, but people don't
usually... Better accept that.
I accept my age just fine until I'm called a cougar or are you into younger men. I wouldn't even like... I mean, it is younger, but I don't know.
Not by much.
Yeah, not by much. Like, it's not something they should bring to my attention.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of cute. Now I'm just like, he says that and I feel like he's an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
You know?
But think of all the things you learned between 29 and 35, right?
Oh, absolutely. Think of all the things I learned in the last 6 months. You know, we're constantly growing.
Yeah.
I know. I guess it was just because he brought specific attention to it. It just made me feel old.
Right.
But that's probably me, not him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my issue.
It's your issues.
No, it's Hollywood's issue. It's really what's happening.
Yeah.
I want caffeine. I wonder if I suck this down.
Are we going to hear about this all day? About your caffeine?
Only if you're lucky.
Yeah. I'm sorry I have sugar in mine because I'd give it to you. But
that's fine.
Yeah, take anything that you're offered. I mean, you know, it's better than nothing.
Heroin? Sure, I'll be right out there.
Well, let's not go too far.
Okay, fine.
But we've got a guest coming in a few minutes.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
What's his name again?
Adrian Colesberry.
Adrian Colesberry, and his name is How to Make Love to Adrian Colesberry.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have
like anybody really cares, right?
Well, let me tell you, it's a great book to bring to a bar, because it's a great, like, you know, people to talk to you about the book you're reading.
Yeah, that's
true. I went yesterday for happy hour, because at that point of the day, I'd already gotten bored, and I was like, what am I going to do now? It's only 5 o'clock. I have no money. My friends are working or out of town, and I'd already done enough stuff for the day, and so I was like, well, I'll go across the street, and I'll read, and, you know, I feel like having a cocktail.
Read in the bar?
Yeah.
Really?
I read in the bar.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
And then I also Facebook status that, too.
It's unusual.
I know. I said, is it weird that I'm reading a book at a bar?
Yeah, I would say.
And I said, well, it was about the fresh air, and it was about having a cheap drink, and then, like, trying to enjoy the book.
Yeah.
The guys were, like, looking over at me, because I pulled, like, suddenly I'm sitting there with a drink and a smoke, and I pulled the book out of my purse. Like, suddenly I'm the intellectual drunk. But then the book is How to Make Love to Adrian Colesberry. So then this guy came up to me and he said, so, how do you make love to him? And I said, seems with him, I just have to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm going to talk to him about. But I thought that was kind of funny.
It's pretty much like a stereotype of men, you know, this book.
Yeah, I mean, it talks about his personal experiences and stuff, you know.
Yeah, but he talks for men pretty much.
Yeah, which I found amusing because I think like a man.
Yeah. So he's going to be here. He wanted to come into the studio and I thought it'd be fun and stuff. So
yeah, I'm excited to talk to him about
it. Yeah, I'm sure we won't talk a lot about sex when he's here.
Well, you know, my friend texted me yesterday and they said, is a specific word, because I'm trying not to say it today, that is a specific word your favorite word? And I said, well, why? And he said, well, because you say that every day.
Really?
And now the new little intro song, you even uses it too, with the ball.
With the cock. You mean
yes,
cock.
Thank
okay.
you. I just said I wasn't going to. No. I'm going to try to go one day without saying it. And I was like, no, it's not my favorite word. I only say it on the show. And I was like, that's a lie.
Yeah.
But
well, you can call it penis. People will be fine with that.
Penis.
Yeah.
That sounds so technical and analytical. And I feel like I'm hanging out with like a 5-year-old baby with his penis.
Well, we got a phone call. Let's take this and see who that is. I think I know who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hello, Sam. Miha here from Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Oh, Miha from Slovenia.
Yep.
Yeah, Miha is a great friend of the station. He's a big fan of the show.
Oh.
And he calls sometimes, and we communicate on Facebook sometimes. So you never said hi to Sherry, right, Miha?
Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Miha.
I added you on Facebook the other day, but had no time really to call in.
Oh, okay. I must have accepted you then. See how nice I am? I don't even know you.
You see? Yeah. But he had to make himself known to you.
Well, I thought he was a friend of yours.
No, he's not. Well, he is a friend of the station and stuff, but we didn't know each other before this.
Oh, but on Facebook, though.
Actually, Facebook was after you called in, though, right?
Yes, actually, I just found your station by coincidence. Right. And then I just said to myself, I will check if you guys are on Facebook. And I found Sam and also some other hosts. And then I called in for the first time.
Yeah. I said some other hoes.
Yeah.
Found Sam and some other hoes.
Yeah. Do you guys have hoes in Slovenia?
Yeah, sure.
She's like, sure.
Sure, we do. There's hoes everywhere.
They're not like 100% legal, but you can.
They're not here either. But they're still all over the place.
That's funny.
Yeah. How many people live there in Slovenia? Do you know?
Yeah, it's a very small country. It's one border is to Italian side and the other border is to Austrian side. Mm-hmm. And there are 2 million people here in Slovenia.
2 million people. And so it's not that crowded. It's pretty cool.
No, it's a small country with, I think it's 200 miles across.
Wow, and you really sound like you have a mixed accent of Italian and Austrian.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Like, I can hear, like, both of it in there.
Can you really?
Yeah, totally. That's crazy.
You go to Italy a lot, right? I mean, he sometimes writes me, he says he goes to Italy.
His favorite country.
And he listens to us in his car, you know, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because European radio station really suck, and it's hard to catch something.
Yeah.
And also, if you travel, like every 15 minutes, the station changes itself. And also in Italy, they're just talking and talking and talking and talking and commercial and no music and nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and we do a lot of talking.
Yeah,
here.
We do a lot of talking too. But I gotta tell you, a lot of radio stations in America are boring too. So you're not missing much.
I never listen to the radio, like. Never until I found out about you guys.
Well, that's amazing, man.
So you're enjoying us?
Yeah, it's great. I like it because you're talking not heavy subjects, and it's really relaxing to listen.
I know.
Relaxing.
You start with a heavy subject, and our head starts to spin.
Shut up.
It's really nice because you do like, I don't know, a small over coffee talk. And
right.
It's really relaxing to listen. And when I have to go to Italy to some business partners and maybe conclude a deal or something, it really makes me ready for heavy talking for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 hours.
He's saying basically our mindlessness is easy to listen to. We don't have any deep thoughts here.
Yeah. Miha, are you married? Do you have anybody in your life right now?
I have a girlfriend. We live together for 8 years, but
really?
We're not married yet.
That's a long time, 8 years.
Do you want to have a new girlfriend?
Would you move to Slovenia for him?
Well, it's close enough to Italy. That's where I want to live.
Yeah, he's pretty handsome, you know. I mean, would you mind having two girlfriends?
Would you mind? I think his girlfriend might mind.
I'm happy with my girlfriend. We are very happy together.
Well, I just got turned down. I just got rejected on air. Thanks, Miha.
Well, what do you expect? You know, he's got a girlfriend.
No, I love that actually. Yeah. I'm glad that you.
We will get engaged one day soon and also marry because she's asking me about it all the time.
Yeah.
I
guess women are the same. Women are the same all over the world.
We've been together 8 years. When are you going to put a ring on my finger?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, so you think you're going to marry her, right?
Yes, I think so. Because we've been together through good and bad for the last 8 years. And we really get along, let's say, better from year to year. And I'm really
good.
Happy with her and she's happy with me. And it's the way it was supposed to be. It's really the thing that you only find once.
Well, that's cool. You see, European men, man, they're serious.
They are. I need to move there, obviously.
Yeah, she wants to go to Italy. She's got this fantasy about all these male models.
Not male models.
Oh, for example, if you go to Italy, the girls and the guys are dressed the nicest in all the world.
That's
and
true.
They also look very nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
I always have people think I'm Italian. Not
really?
Just the way I dress, but I guess a lot of Italians have dark hair and light eyes, which I didn't know.
You don't look Italian.
Oh, I get that all the time, but
really?
The first generation Italians, they start speaking to me in Italian.
Really?
Mm-hmm, and they swear that I am.
Yeah.
What do I look?
Not a lot of Italian Jews out there.
I know, but, you know, my one side of my family I don't think is Jewish. They were adopted.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, Miha, what is it that you do for a living? I mean, you told me, but I don't really... I know you work with cars and stuff, but what do you do exactly?
We have a brake production company, and we produce high-performance brake products for motorcycles and karting and motorsport generally.
Really?
And the company was established by my father 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he retired last year, and he moved to Cuba.
Oh.
And now it's my turn, and also my uncle works here, so wow. It's a family business.
Yeah. Do you love it? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's the best business you can do.
Okay.
Really? Make breaks. I'm sure there's something interesting about that. I don't know what
it
is.
Hey, as long as he loves it.
Yeah.
How did you learn English?
Yeah, his English is great, huh?
Yeah.
No, it's not that great, but thank you, guys.
No, it is. Better than a lot of people live here.
Yeah.
I studied in school, but after that, all the computers were in English in the beginning, in the early 90s, because Slovenian market was too small to translate it. And all the instructions, all the computers, all the games, everything was in English when I was a kid.
Yeah. I have to tell you that your grammar is perfect.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, every word is perfect. All you have is an accent. Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, I want to get rid of it, but the more I speak and the more I practice, I just can't get it out.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Look, I've been doing it for 33 years. Haven't gotten far. So it depends. When you're older, it's hard to pick up an accent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, because if you're a kid, you can be somewhere for, like, let's say 3-4 years and you pick up the accents and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, kids can totally absorb a lot.
Do women think you're sexier because you speak English over there?
No, here everybody speaks English.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's not like France or Italy, for instance, where nobody speaks it. Here, let's say 90% of the population speaks it like so-and-so, so they can buy a hamburger, basically. Yeah. But a lot of guys speaks very good.
Yeah.
What are your burgers called out there at McDonald's? Like Big Macs?
They're the same. Yeah, they're the same like in the States, but smaller.
Smaller.
Okay, I was just curious because when you go to different countries, you know, like in France, it's Le Big Mac, and like every like when I was traveling around Europe,
Le Big.
I'm serious. When I was traveling around Europe, we went to a fast food joint in every country, like to a McDonald's or you know Burger King, and so it was always called something different. So I was just curious what it was in Slovenia.
It's the same like English, but the interesting thing is that you can buy a beer in McDonald's.
Really,
you
a
can.
Beer. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, healthy.
Yeah, it's nice. You have two Big Macs, a French fries, and a beer.
Sounds good to me, man. I'm moving over there.
Makes the food taste better.
Yeah. Miha, listen, I'm going to cut you short because we have a guest waiting in the studio, hopefully. So keep listening. Thanks so much for calling,
man.
Yeah,
thanks.
We always
and
thanks
love for listening to us.
Okay, very nice to meet you, Sherry.
Same here.
All right.
Good luck with your girlfriend.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, you guys have fun and carry on the great show.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Very nice guy.
I want to hug him.
Yeah? I know, he sounds cute, right?
He sounds so cute. I'm all, like, balled up right now. Like, oh, I love him. I remember him writing me now.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I was like, wow, people in Europe listen to us.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
all over the
cool.
world. I can't tell you how many people listen from China. Which is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if they understand what they're listening to. But I'm sure there's Americans in China, too, that enjoy it. But,
yeah. I'm sure somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
There's Americans everywhere. We're taking over.
And we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. I felt high.
Nothing like heavy metal so early in the morning.
You just scared me. I was looking this way, uh-huh. and I thought you were right behind me. I was like, it was
really,
really weird. Yeah. I don't know where that just came from.
It wasn't me who scared you. You scared yourself.
Well, it was your voice.
Oh,
I smell like you were like standing over my shoulder. It's weird. I was like, get away from me. Maybe it's the tea.
Yeah.
Doing crazy things.
So I can't wait for sharing with Sherry today. We'll do that.
I'm building up the suspense. Yeah. You're such a jerk.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm excited about my segment.
Wonderful. Well, I'm excited about our guest.
I am
Good
too.
Morning to you.
Good morning.
We have Adrian Colesberry in the studio, and you wrote the book, How to Make Love to Adrian Colesberry.
Woo!
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
So are you an L.A. native?
I'm an Austin, Texanite.
Really?
I come from
we were
Austin,
just talking
Texas.
About Austin.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Not very good things about it.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, what happened?
Well, no, we just had a high expectations for the place. And,
oh right.
Yeah, and both of us sort of like went there separately, of course.
Right, right.
And
oh, how fun!
Course.
Let's get that clear.
No, it was before we met, and we were talking about how you know there's great expectations when
right.
you go there as far as the music and all that's going
scene.
On. But when I went there, there was nobody.
Oh, that's so funny.
Just everyone's like, you're gonna love Austin. It's the best city in the world.
Right.
All this, and then I. When I was like, it was cool, but I wasn't like, this is the best city in the world.
No, no.
You know?
It's, I mean, it's a smaller footprint. The
yeah.
cool parts of Austin, you can walk in and out of them in the time it takes you to drink a beer out
right.
of a koozie. So, you know, I mean, it's not like L.A. where they're gigantic swaths of cool. You
right.
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I like the variety, though. I mean, I like that you had, like, very, like, cool and hip people, and then you had, you know, like, then you're, like, your vegan side. I mean, you just had, like, a
right.
large... array of people, which was nice,
right,
you know.
Right, exactly.
But
exactly.
the weather sucked.
Oh my god.
Really?
The weather was awful.
I will not
It was
go
right
back
after the floods. It was right after
the,
you guys had the big floods a couple of years ago in the summer or something.
Oh right, right.
And so there was just bugs everywhere and all
oh.
over the ground. The grounds were covered with these black crickets or something
oh.
or black something or other. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
getting attacked.
Nothing like taking a vacation to a place that's flooded.
It was a work assignment actually.
I
yeah. I would never choose to go to Texas.
Not in midsummer at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you grew up in Austin, right?
I grew up in Austin, Texas.
And what were you doing there?
I was, well, I got a biomedical engineering degree at the end of
really?
My days.
Wow,
Austin,
excuse me.
Well, I just straightened my tie.
I felt smarter just hearing that word. Biomedical degree.
But yeah, I grew up there. It was a really cool place to grow up. And I grew up there and I got my degree. And then I struck off into the world, worked in... did tech writing for a while, wrote a travel book on Costa Rica, worked in pharmaceutics for 10 years, making mainly anti-hemophiliac factor for hemophiliacs, you know, the little kids who are bleeders
mm-hmm.
right.
and stuff. And then I got divorced, quit, and decided the last 5 years of my pharmaceutical career, I'd done stand-up comedy at night around town in
oh,
L.A.
Wow.
Now I'm in L.A. I'm sorry, I didn't transition.
Right.
Now I'm in L.A.
Okay.
when I do the pharmaceutical stuff. And I did stand-up comedy at night after work because nothing's more hilarious than a day of pharmaceutical manufacturing. And I would go do stand-up. And then I quit to pursue stand-up ostensibly, but really what I did is I sat down and I got this bug in my ear about writing a crazy book titled How to Make Love to Adrian Colesberry. And weeks went by and it was still all I wanted to work on, and a year went by and it was still all I wanted to work on. And I think if you want to write a book, that's the side. If you're wanting to work on it a year and a half
absolutely.
Later.
Yeah, it's definitely something you want to pay attention to.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. As a creative person, yeah, you want to.
Well, first I find it crazy that like you're biomedical and pharmaceuticals and then you do stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, that alone in itself is a story in itself. Like,
right?
Yeah.
yeah, you must have just had some really boring days and you had to have an outlet at the end of the day.
Oh my God, had to have an outlet. Corporate America, even though I was in a kind of small part of corporate America is this very bizarre, repressive, although highly efficient machine.
Right.
I respect a lot about
mm-hmm.
corporate America, but boy, at the end of the day, you want to rip that metaphorical tie off and go do something. You
absolutely.
Know? And so as an expression, I thought, I was looking at a UCLA extension catalog. I'd written 459 pages exactly of a novel that I shall never finish. And I was looking at UCLA extension and I flipped it over and there was a novel writing class and I looked at that and then my eye floated across the page
uh-huh.
and there was a stand-up class and I thought, oh, screw it, I'm going to do that. That nice. Sounds like fun. You know?
Yeah.
Right, this doesn't sound like fun. That sounds like fun. And I don't know what you learn taking a stand-up class, but what you do is you have paid $400. So
you better learn something.
You better learn something. And you're going to go out to those open mics, and you're going to perform, and that's where you learn.
Yeah.
You learn at open mics performing and going up and failing and failing and failing. And
right.
That's right. Why I won't do it.
So, but you started the comedy here, right?
Here in L.A.
And
I've
what
been
made
in LA.
You move from Texas?
My then wife wanted to be an entertainment journalist. Mm. And the woman I got divorced from in the book is the book is all the aftermath of my divorce. Mm. And the woman is that woman, that my ex-wife, who wanted to be an entertainment journalist.
I see. Okay, so you decided to support her and move
right.
out here.
Yeah.
And was it easy to find a job in what you were doing?
I wasn't doing it yet.
Oh, I
came
see.
Out okay. here, and Pharmaceutics found me because it was the first job that I got.
I oh. see. Okay.
Yeah. With a biomedical engineering degree, it's hitting off a T to get a job in pharmaceutics. It's
right.
pretty easy. I mean, that's kind of
yeah,
what they
I
want.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that degree. This whole time I'm like, I wonder what that does.
Yeah. Just give me the drugs.
Oh, you're learning about me so fast.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. So what year was it that you moved out here?
91.
91. So you've been here for a while.
Yeah.
18 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm an adopted L.A. native.
Adopted
here.
L.A.
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Cool.
I saw the riots.
Oh, yeah.
The Northridge.
Wow, that was a long
right?
time okay. ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you survived that, you're now a local.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. So you got divorced, right?
Yep.
And how long ago was that?
That was 2002.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So it has been a while. And then you got the idea for the book? Is that
I got the
it?
Idea. A year later, I had just finished a book called Pale Fire by Nabokov. It's this brilliant, brilliant book. If I'm sure a lot of your listeners have read it. And it was so good. I finished the book. I closed the last page. I went over to my computer. And I thought, I can do something like this. And I typed in to the computer, I typed, how to make love to Adrienne Colesberry.
Uh-huh.
My testicles are very sensitive.
and that's how
started.
You start the book.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What was nagging at you, though, to write about that?
Well, because I had the sex had gone downhill in my relationship,
yeah.
as it goes downhill in a lot of marital relationships, especially if other things are going wrong. It's not the only thing that was going wrong in that relationship. There's a laundry list of things that were wrong with it, but the sex was going downhill, and I was thinking about sex a lot, and I'd actually started to read a couple of how-to books, you know, towards the end of the marriage, how to pep up sex in your marriage, and blah, 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 and they all struck me as so idiotic. The idea that you could write a how-to-make-love-to-men,
mm-hmm.
like you and me are exactly the same.
Right.
And like
right.
we're a Chevy Chevelle.
Well, you guys right. kind of are.
Whoa.
All you have to do is show up and you guys are happy.
We're sitting awfully close.
Yeah.
But
look
but,
beyond the biology.
Just tell you how big you are and you guys are happy.
Oh,
wow, that's so big.
Yeah.
Never had anything like
See,
that.
We're low maintenance.
Oh, my God, more.
Stifling the yawn. More. I can't get enough.
Yes, please. On my face.
See, she's already going there, man.
Right? Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I woke up now. Did you notice? I'm like sitting up in my chair.
Yeah, I'm sure she skipped all the chapters in the beginning to get to the come on the face.
Shut
up.
So you, early in the book you said that you're going to use probably every word except the C word, right?
Yes, I don't use the C word.
I appreciated that, actually. I read that. I was like, good. It's
right.
the one word that I hate.
Now,
really?
Why is that? I mean, why is that word so loaded?
I don't know. I read a lot of feminist literature, and I'll tell you the truth. The C word was the only word in the book for about 5.5 years, and it became a deal breaker in editorial because I'd read a lot of feminist literature about take back the C word. Why
mm-hmm.
is there a dirty word for lady parts?
Mm-hmm.
But there is not a dirty word that you can't say for boy parts.
Right.
And it kind of, to me, I got on this
train of
like... I know,
penis is dirty
like,
to me. I'm like, oh, I feel like going like this. Like, take it away.
Yeah.
Get that penis away from me.
But, she just decided not to say cock today.
Oh, nice.
But I don't know if I can hold that truth anymore, that promise.
Yeah. Well, that's such a great word.
Oh, no, it's my favorite word. It's my favorite word. I just haven't said it every day since I started, and I've said that today would be the day I wouldn't say, but cock!
Picked a bad day.
I feel better, no.
Yeah. Okay. But I thought, you know, but... for me and for a lot of people that I've talked to, actually, the C word is their favorite word in bed for lady parts. Like
really?
When you're in bed rolling around and doing it, but not for you.
No.
But yeah.
The P word.
So I, see the P word.
But I can't say it now, but I can say it in the bedroom, like constantly.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite word for when I'm talking about oral sex.
Right.
Yeah, but otherwise I put it aside. But y'all, this is kind of the point of the book.
I want you to see
complicated. We all have these very complicated things. If you wrote a book, it would be like, okay, the P word and no C word and blah, blah, blah. It would be this very complicated, very
different. Well, as complicated as you sound in here, really what I got from the end of it is really just show up.
Really
anything that you are, like whether you're aggressive or whether you're this or whether you were pretty much happy.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was happy. The character is a bit of like a Chauncey Gardner character from Being There. Do you remember that movie?
He kind of
like adapts to his situation.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I would get with a girl and I would be importing into that relationship all the stuff I had done from the previous relationship, and it would be like, wait, I don't like a spanking, and I'd be like, oops, okay, what do I do? Wait, what do you like? And you find you adjust, and by the time you're finished adjusting to this person, you're this radically different person. It has nothing to do with the person you were with the previous person, and I think that's how we muchly behave in bed. Of course you adapt to the other person. What's the point?
Yeah.
You know?
But I still haven't figured out why the C word is so loaded, though. I mean, why is it okay? Why do women accept, you know, pussy and what else do we call
box.
It?
Box.
Yeah, snatch. Box, snatch.
The JJ.
Coochie.
The cutesy names, I understand, because those are harmless sounding.
He says coochie, and I feel like he's Charo when he says that.
No, I think I actually picked it up from Jenna Jameson's book.
Oh,
I just finished it.
But it's your inflection with your accent.
Yeah,
it's
probably.
Your inflection, the coochie. It sounds like you're tickling somebody.
Yeah.
No, for me, the word, I don't feel like degraded by it or anything. I just think it just sounds nasty and not in a good way. Like. It just sounds like it's dirty. It just doesn't sound like there's anything attractive about it.
I think it's just, you know, preconceived notions about the word, because a word is just a word, you know, but people have made connections with other things to it, you know?
I don't know. I don't really care what people think, because I talk about the things I speak about. Personally, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a subconscious thing of always hearing that.
Right.
But, you know, you can say the P word anytime you want.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The P word. We're starting to talk like kindergartners.
I mean, it was used as a really deep insult for a long time, and I think that dug in. But mainly,
you're
right.
So
really
it was used
strong,
as an insult.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And
right?
So it's
maybe
I,
it's just derogatory. I guess
it
maybe.
Can't shake that a little.
I don't know.
Bit.
It sounds like a gaping hole to me.
And that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Actually,
we'll take gaping hole.
But that sounds like you're throwing a hot dog in a hallway.
Oh, no.
Well, gaping doesn't mean that it has to be big, you know?
Well, I guess it's more deep, right?
I don't know.
Just that, nah.
Yeah.
I'm good without
it. So, Adrian, so you had plenty of time to figure out what you want from women and stuff, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So why was it important to say that your testicles are sensitive in the beginning of the book?
Well, because I think that works in the book just from a literary perspective, because that's the most common thing about men anyway.
Yeah.
Like I've set out to write this book that's uniquely about this one person, and the first thing I say is the most banal, boring, universal thing about men that I can possibly say. So I think it was
funny.
Just a counterpoint.
But it brings you into the book.
Yeah.
I mean, like, immediately
book,
I was just like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you would have said cock, that would have been even better.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I know. I missed my chance.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So that was like kind of a different approach to a book. I mean, you don't often get, you know, like how to fuck Sherry or something, for example, right? She wouldn't come out with that kind of a book.
Right.
I don't know. I pretty much give a lesson when we get in the bedroom. Everyone adapts to me.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. I like how you have graphs and charts.
Yeah, that's
I enjoyed
funny.
That.
That's from the engineering background. That's 1 year of engineering statistics at the great University of Texas paying off in spades.
I do have to admit, though, when you talked about your different sizes and stuff of women that you've been with, I had to keep looking at the chart, and you were like, oh, I'm open to all. I was like, not open to my size, because you only went up to a certain way.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
a bad
it's okay.
Maybe,
I felt a little insulted.
Maybe
you're
it just
amazing,
turned out
though.
That way.
I would do you in a second.
There you go, you see.
There we go. Let's change the book.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and change it.
Yeah, like how should Sherry make love to Adrian Goldsberry?
As good as she normally does.
Exactly.
So this is cool. Now, I was going to ask you, I mean, when you write a dirty book like this, doesn't it feel weird when you shop it around and stuff? I mean, do people look at you funny? Do they say it's a deal breaker right away?
I think in a lot of people who have gotten the book, like in a request for publicity, there's no gray area with this book. Either someone gets it, like you guys get the book.
Yeah.
It's funny. Or people like don't get it. It's not, there's no middle road where it's like, well, I'm lukewarm on the book. People right. are either really hot on the book or they're really like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know, which is fine, which
yeah,
is great.
Yeah, that's a great result to get from a book.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. And yeah. I want it to go to people who will get it. Either, you know what, to me, you either get this book before you open the cover mm-hmm. or you don't.
Right.
And if you don't, you shouldn't open the cover. And then if you get it, I think you're going to read it and it's going to be the dirty romp that you want it to be.
Right.
And that's
the way sex should be, you know? It should be clean.
I have a burning question. Has your number gone up since you've written the book?
You know what? I will show you something.
But at least he's honest.
Wow.
He's honest.
Okay. He's married.
I got married again.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
Congratulations.
For you.
I do get laid a lot. It's just the same lady.
That's
okay. That's steady ass. It doesn't matter from who.
Absolutely.
It's steady
Absolutely.
Ass.
Absolutely.
Sherry likes the idea.
Yeah.
I'm just like, marriage, no marriage. I don't know where to go here. Yeah, One minute it sucks. The other minute it's constant ass.
Yeah.
Actually, no. No. You're newlywed, aren't you?
3 years.
Oh, and you're still having, you're still getting some.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Good job.
That's
yeah.
pretty
well,
good.
You're probably getting more now because of the book.
Right, exactly. She's doing insurance sex today. No.
Yeah. No, but at least you were honest about it. You didn't go around, you know, saying, yeah, I've been with hundreds of women or something. You know, you admitted I've been with what? 7,
11.
9, 11.
11. Like 11.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a whore. But he wrote about my type in
yeah,
there.
But it doesn't, mean you it doesn't mean you haven't had a lot of sex. It's just not with different women.
Not
You've
with
probably
different
been in relationships and stuff.
Right, been in relationships. And to me, personally, I think if you're going to have sex with someone for a very brief period of time, 1, 2, 3 times, how can you screw that up?
Yeah.
You didn't need to know anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you and me. You have fun new parts. I have fun new parts. We couldn't have fun with each other's parts for 3 times in a row.
Yeah,
we can't. We're defective
problems,
human
right.
beings,
right,
you
right.
know? And so it's, to me, when you need to dig in and really look at yourself is, okay, now I'm having sex with someone for the 80th time, mm-hmm. for the 100th time, for the 150th time. Now what do I do? Where do I go with this? What am I thinking in my head? Am I even thinking about her? What do, you know, that's where it becomes complicated. And that's where I think the story becomes interesting is how he, you know, adapts to these people in the long-term sexual relationship.
Yeah.
And still
yeah.
makes it this nasty, hilarious romp.
Yeah.
You know?
I like the whole ugly part thing.
What's oh,
I mean, I think that was really sensitive on your part and stuff,
good.
Like, you know, to point out, you know, to pay extra attention to the parts that women are insecure about.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
right.
I enjoyed
so
that.
That's what I very much do that with all the women I'm with. I figure out, or if it's not apparent, I ask them, what do you think is the ugliest part of your body?
Mm.
And then...
Which someone thought was a strange question. Why are you asking me that?
Why are you asking me that? I know. I made the mistake of asking a very secure woman who was like, that's a dumb question. Why are you even asking me that dumb question? But that had a very happy ending because she ended up, not saying it out loud, but she ended up thinking that the ugliest part of her body was her labia.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that
I
was good luck.
That's a pretty common
me.
Problem, no? For women? No, well, not for you. She's like, what are you talking about?
That's not my ugly part.
Yeah.
No. There's become this weird, this thing that is thinking that women thinking their labia is too long.
Well, that's because
crazy.
Porn is so prevalent now, prevalent
yeah.
that people can see, and those women on there obviously are going to have supposed just like Hollywood actresses, you know,
right,
like perfect
right.
looking bodies. So if you don't look like that, you're like, what's wrong with me? And you think all women look like porn
right,
stars,
right.
you know?
And I think a lot of women are shaving too. And I think women of this generation are getting a look at their junk like no women ever have, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Like women of previous generations, they kept their hair and they didn't
yeah.
look at their junk.
Why do you think everybody shaves now?
It's just a fashion.
It's yeah.
I told you someone should do a coffee table book of the different styles over the years.
Exactly, because they all look the same now. You know, in porn, they all look the same, you know. In fact, I was reading one of the biggest porn stars in the 70s was Sika. I don't know if you know.
Don't remember.
You're too young, right?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
44, okay. Yeah. So you probably just didn't watch porn at the time. But she was like platinum blonde actress, and I was just reading about her like yesterday. They were talking about the adult industry and stuff, and she says how, you know, all the women today, they all look the same, and that's true, you know. I mean, that's why I like amateur porn and stuff, you know,
because
it's
better.
Different, you know. Like she does too. She loves red tube.
Why'd you throw me in this?
Because you look at me like, is he going to say that? So I figured I have to.
I just like when you share stuff, it makes me smile. I can see more fantasy later.
I see.
I wanted to make him uncomfortable today.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you think it's just a fad? You think eventually they'll go back to pubic hair?
It's a fashion, like anything. Like the Egyptians shaved their whole bodies, for God's sake. So every once in a while we get these ideas that, oh, I want to shave my body. Oh, I want to cut this part off my genitals. I want to cut that part off my genitals. And it's just like the normal...
Just like hairstyles.
It's
like the thing. You see what other people are doing.
I mean, obviously I'm against genital cutting. And I would, you know, if someone came to me personally and said, hey, I want to reduce my labia, I'd say, why are you cutting sensitive tissue off your body? That seems crazy.
Yeah, and besides, if she finds the right man, he might actually like it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
some dude who can... Guys, you know, like I teach sex ed for kids. In ninth grades in the LAUSD on a volunteer basis for Planned Parenthood. And every once in a while I get a question from boys that makes it really clear that they watch porn. And I really try to frame porn for them. Like, you know, this is not how all women will act, clearly. Just like, enjoy it. Just know it's a complete fantasy. And if it's, as long as it stays in fantasy land, that's fine. If you start developing expectations about what your sexual experiences are going to be like from watching porn, which adult men don't. I mean, the idea that I think my wife is going to act like that, and it's crazy.
Yeah. Like, don't call your 14-year-old girlfriend a whore in the bedroom and say, you like this whore.
Right, exactly. Yes.
I just picture that. This is how they're learning sex ed. I mean, I'd probably like them, these 14-year-old boys watching them. That's funny, though. Yeah. But that's sad, though, that that's how they're getting their intro to sex, though.
I mean, it's not their complete intro, but it's I mean, I am almost more alarmed by how sex is presented in Hollywood movies. Like, you know, like the kids, the movie they always refer to is 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh.
Which is, nothing happens. You stampede immediately to vaginal intercourse, which is completely and thoroughly satisfying to the woman. Hello. Like throwing out decades of sexual research.
Right.
You know, I think that's the kind of stuff that I'm more, more concerned about. Mostly, I think the message we all get from porn, the message I get from porn is, this is everybody's supposed to feel good,
right?
You know,
right.
And I think that's a message that sex education honestly confuses kids about, because when we do sex education, and I'm not even talking about the horrible abstinence only education, I'm talking about like the sex education I teach, it's a series of warnings, and so they forget about, or we don't message the fact that, wait a second, this is one of the terrific things in life. This feels really super good. And where we run into a problem with that is girls who have heard that sex is supposed to hurt accept painful sex for long periods of time, because nobody has ever come out and said to them in an unconfusing way, this is supposed to feel better than anything else in the entire world. If it does not feel better than anything else in the entire world, walk out of the room, put your panties on, and walk out.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think I don't know. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated series of things. But we definitely need to educate kids that it's supposed to feel absolutely terrific.
Yeah. Well, it does.
Yeah.
And it does
for most people. Yeah.
I have a question. Do we have time for a question?
The funniest thing you said all day.
Thanks.
And she raises her hand. I have a question.
I'm in sex ed class. Back to the ugly parts, because obviously a lot of women are insecure, as I am as well. And I'm curious, and you have to tell the truth. Now, when these women pointed out the parts of their body, that they were insecure with, did you sometimes agree with them and then you paid special attention to them and still found them as gross as they did?
No. No, honestly, if I feel, because in the moment of making love to a woman's ugliest part, what I felt like is I was unlocking the box.
Yeah.
And I meant the double entendre there. Hello.
That's but, very witty.
But like I felt like I was decoding her, yeah. unlocking her, opening her up. And that is an incredibly sexy thing to feel like you're doing. Right. You know, I mean, a woman could train me to think that doing the dishes was sexy. Like, I would be doing the dishes with the biggest heart on in my life
yeah,
if someone
okay,
thought,
but not all men are like you.
I'm going to wash the dishes and then I'm going to get a blowjob or yeah, I'm going to get yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like if that would be... So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I realize it's about women's insecurity more than anything. Like, I notice when I'm with men and, you know, and I'm insecure and feeling, you know, not confident, they're like, Sherry, there are women that are tinier than you that are just as insecure. And then you realize, wow, everyone is, you know what I mean? Like, and you just have to be confident within your own self.
Right.
Because I've had a man, like, a while ago who, like, loved every part of my body. And this is when I was feeling really, like, a lot worse about myself. And it was so hard and uncomfortable for me to be with him and to accept that about him. But at the same time, it was, like, such this freeing to have someone that, like, really desired every part of you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I love that you actually took the time to take, you know, those parts of their bodies and, like, pay extra attention to that. I thought that was very cool.
I think it's really important for everybody to have that lover.
Yeah,
I agree. Person who, like, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, I love every single square inch of
right,
your body.
Exactly.
Like, that's a really important person to have in your life.
I'd never leave the bedroom. Yeah. I'd be like, more, devour me more.
Take me. All right, so let's take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Nowhere else, got it, go with me.
Okay, and we're back. We have Adrian Colesbury in the studio.
Who looks so different than what I ever would have expected.
Really?
And not.
Did you see his picture in the book?
Well, I did this morning, though. Oh. I just like turned it over and I was like, oh, but like when I was first reading the book, like I didn't even know what to expect.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
and good. Yeah. No, it's a pleasant surprise. I mean, because you just
absolutely.
You know, someone that writes about sex and all that stuff, like you just have certain, you know,
yeah,
images in your head. Yeah.
So you've always wanted to write, right? I mean, you were talking about
that. Yeah, since my 20s, I've been a writer.
Really?
Yeah, I've been writing.
What have you been writing?
I did tech writing, and then I wrote a book about Costa Rica called Costa Rica, The Last Country the Gods Made. And
really?
Then,
so it's got to be one of your favorite destinations.
Really beautiful country.
Really?
Such a beautiful
I have three
place.
Texan friends that just went to Costa Rica. Oh, what really? Is it with Texas
really?
And Costa Rica?
I don't know. Cheap plane flight, maybe.
Even from here, I get deals. I see deals about it all the time.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I heard it's amazing.
Such a beautiful place. And then I wrote after that, I followed up by writing a novel, and which I never finished. And then as I said, I got into stand-up, and then the stand-up bumped into this book, and I actually kind of curtailed the stand-up to finish this book.
Really?
Yeah.
How long does it take to write a book like this?
It took me 2.5 years to write my draft of it. And then it took 4 years, to get to the publication point.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's a long time, huh?
It's a long time. It's a marathon, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how do you go about publishing a book? You write it and, you write it before you have any deals or anything, right?
I did write the whole thing before I had any deals. In a nonfiction book, you can actually just write 3 chapters and a proposal.
Oh, really?
And if it's strong enough and your personality is well-known enough or some combination of that, you could actually get someone to buy the book off of that. Mm-hmm. But I needed to write the whole book to understand what the book even was, and so I wrote the whole book. I went to a writer's conference in Austin, Texas, because it gave me a chance to say hi to my mama.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, mama. Every time I talk to mama about the book, she's like, don't write another book about sex. Could you? Your next book. You're such a smart boy. Your next book. Just don't make it.
Biomedical engineering.
Yeah, exactly. Why did we spend so much? No, she's really supportive, but she begs me causally. But I went back to Austin, Texas, and went to a writer's conference, and where there are a bunch of agents around, and it's like this, oh my God, it's like Shark Week, where you have all these writers kind of circling around all these agents and editors and stuff like that. But I did manage to get 2 agents interested. I went with the wrong one at first, and that was a year and a half that was kind of painful. And then I went back to the first one like I was a bad girlfriend or something. I was like, would you take me back, please? And he was totally a pro about it. He was like, yeah, I can still sell this book. Are you interested in going with me? And I was like, yeah, okay. crying. No. But please. And he sold the book to Gotham, which is great. I felt so lucky.
That's a great company. Yeah.
Great company. They're an imprint of Penguin. It's a fantastic publishing company. And my editor there, Patrick Mulligan, was great. My agent is Jeff Kleinman with Folio. But
I don't understand editors. I mean, they take your writing, and they edit it. But, does it change your writing?
Oh, Matt. Yeah, they're editorial notes. They read your book. They read the manuscript you produce. And then they say, I want it to go in this direction. They don't rewrite it to get it in your direction. If they would do the work of rewriting, then they'd be the writer.
Well, that's why I was confused. Okay.
So they just point you over in this direction.
Okay.
And then the process involves this. The process involves you going in a room and being depressed and saying F you to the editor a million times in your head.
Yeah.
And then you finally stop being a baby about it and realize, okay, wait, I kind of see what this guy wants. I'm going to take where the book is now. He thinks it should be over here. I'm going to give him a version that I can live with and that I think he likes too. And that's how the process of this book happened.
And then you realize how they have their job because they're good at what they do.
They are good.
Yeah.
They are good. The pros are amazing. They're really, really good. Because the story you hear from writers is always like, my editor's keeping me down. I have this expression and the editor's stifling me and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Nonsense. Not my experience at all.
Good.
Yeah. You know what I wonder about is sometimes in books, you figure a lot of people must have gone through this book before it went into print. Mm. And there's so many grammatical errors And, you know, things like this that you go, how did this slip by?
Wow. You know? Budget cuts.
Is it really?
That's budget cuts. That's got to be. I don't.
Yeah. I hired someone in the, that department.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know how you can possibly, you know, I mean, you have proofreaders and editors and things like that, you know.
You really come across that many?
Yes. Well, not many, but let's say every once in a while I do. And it's like the problem persists throughout the whole book. Like, you know, like, for example, one book I read, it was a fiction book, and the guy constantly, instead of could have, says could of.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the whole book is like this. And I'm going, what the hell? Nobody caught this?
That's an egregious grammatical error.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, the writer should have known better. You know?
Please.
Well,
yeah.
You know, let alone
someone should have
people.
Caught that along the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it bothers me because I'm very, like, meticulous about grammar and stuff.
I can tell in your emails.
Even my instant messages, you know, capital letters.
Everything is perfect.
Punctuation.
Like, I'll write them back in lowercase. And I'm just like, sometimes I think, should I be all grammatical now? Because they're all perfectly prose and like
I just can't write any other way, but it's crazy, you know? I mean, you know, when you're texting, it doesn't have to look good, you know?
Right.
Can you, like, instead of writing the word C, like, use the letter C? C-U later.
Yeah, no, I could never do that.
I know.
No, I can't either. I punctuate my texts.
Yeah.
I mean, I always spell correctly. I'm really obsessive about spelling and using the right forms of there, and there, and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't need to use capital letters.
Yeah.
But
you're good at writing. I mean, you're very good at writing.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
When I'm inspired properly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so here we are.
Yeah. But Facebook seems to have been made for you, you know?
Actually, no, I started on MySpace first.
MySpace,
I was a big blog writer there.
Okay.
And then I moved some of them over to Facebook.
Yeah.
And now I've moved them over to my own blog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the comments you make for people and stuff, you know? She doesn't let anyone get away with shit.
Oh, nice.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
No.
I don't. I mean, if someone says something, I mean, it's there for us to comment on, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, some people, you know, you just have a way with writing, you know?
I don't know if this is a compliment or what.
It is
Thank
a fucking
you.
Compliment. She doesn't know if it's a compliment.
So, back to cunts. I just said it.
Oh, my.
Oh,
proud
my
of
God.
You.
Thank you. I don't ever, ever, ever say that.
Okay, so back to those.
I just needed to break that
uncomfortableness. So you created the segue, but you don't have
so
anything
I got nothing
to
say about
place
it.
To go.
So, do you prefer shaved, not shaved?
I, as you have noticed, I just take what's given to
me. Right. I did read that.
Yeah. I think a woman is a gift that you open up and you figure out. Oh, look, I got this size of boob, and I got this. Oh, I can put her whole foot in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's fun.
There you go.
Whatever, you know.
Were you always obsessed with sex from a young age? Okay, so you always really did look at
He's
women.
He's a man.
And
come on. Always looked at women as what?
I mean, you always, like, when you met women, were always just like, oh, I'd fuck her, or I want to do this to her. Like,
Come on, every guy does that.
Really?
Yes.
I think
really?
We do.
Yeah. Really?
We do. Yeah,
that's how we're wired.
I mean, I suspect at a certain age, but then you would think at a certain age it stops.
No.
Oh, no.
No, no.
I'm
going to
be really sad when that stops.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a bad day in my life.
It only stops when you get married.
I was just going to say that next. I'm like, then why do people stop having sex when they're married?
Yeah, well, they don't have a choice. No, but that's why I say sometimes to women that, you know, because they wonder, you know, I mean, you know, he went and cheated on me, and the woman's not even as beautiful as I am and stuff. And I try to explain to them, it's not about better, it's about different, you know?
Totally,
men just need the variety, you know?
And, so then you should come home with different haircuts down below.
Maybe,
make
you
it
know?
A difference. Make it look a little different. Today I'm Brazilian, tomorrow I'm a 12-year-old.
It doesn't work. It's also what's attached to it, obviously, you know?
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
So one day I'm a whore, the next
one
day I'm
day
a virgin.
I think the marriage is a little, and I'm now trying to, you know, keep a sex life going in marriage. And I think one of the things about marriage that's difficult is this person means a lot to you.
Yeah.
You know, and as I said to a neighbor friend of mine who was also having the same problem, and we were having a conversation about it, I said the thing that becomes difficult about a woman, your wife, as that relationship deepens and it means more to you, and she has more of your life in her pocket and all that, is it becomes hard to look at that person and say, and I am so going to jerk off on your tits. You know, that becomes difficult. And I think you have to, like, you have to test with that.
I don't want to get married.
You have to kind of, you kind of have to look at the person every once in a while and say to yourself, psych yourself up, I am so going to jerk off on your tits, lady. You have no idea what's coming. Here's what's coming.
With that little Texan accent.
Yeah,
too.
Right.
I'm going to so jerk off on your tits, lady.
What about jerking off on her face? Do you like that too?
That's lady's choice. Yeah. If a woman is okay with that, that's fine. I'd say with mouth and swallowing and stuff like that. If a woman is okay, it's super nasty and fantastic. Yeah. And ladies,
I go the same way.
Very nasty, but totally lady's choice.
Yeah.
In the moment, you know, like if a lady feels like it at that moment, like great. If she doesn't feel like it at that moment or ever, then.
You're not obsessed with it.
No.
But, you know, I mean, look at all these men that do all these crazy things. Like now David Letterman, for example, right? I mean, this guy's in the public eye and everything, and he still does these things. And, you know, he's got a beautiful wife, I think. He's got a kid and everything. But it's something in men that they need the variety, you know? And I think we're pre-wired for that.
So you think that's the basis of it? They need variety.
Yeah, I mean, we're made to procreate.
You think that's why you're cheating? Like, that's it?
Because, yeah, because they want something different. Of course. You know? You get bored with it.
So
I mean, look, I'm not saying
everybody.
You're
placing the blame on the women.
Well,
who are boring.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
No, the blame is on the men, you know. But I don't think really you're blaming anybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing bad about it. I mean, there's so many women that cheat, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, women like a variety, too.
Right. But they look for the... for the comfort, I think, for the romance, you know, and things like this. And men are more fixated on body parts. You know?
Yeah. No, we can go to a simple place where it's like, oh, want boobs or something like that.
He just called you very nicely a simpleton.
No, me too. I can.
Yeah, I'm not complicated in that way at all. Like he says in
we
his book, like he said, all you have to do is...
I like boobs. Me like me fuck. Yeah. Oh, you.
You know, this reminds me, one of my favorite parts in the movie was, do you remember the movie Quest for Fire, by any chance?
Yeah, that I remember
was,
the name.
That was like about the caveman and stuff, the way they lived. So there's not a word spoken in the movie, but there's this one part where the female is washing their clothes or something in the river, and he just approaches from behind and just sticks it to her.
Right.
You know, just like animals, you know, he doesn't ask, there's no romance, there's no nothing. He just bends over.
Do you own it? Can I borrow it? Sorry, continue.
So I mean, that's what men are about, you know, when you strip us of everything, you know.
I love that. There's going to be sensitive men out there that are like, I'm nothing like he's describing at all.
That's bullshit. Okay, sensitive men, you know. In the bedroom, they're all the same.
I've met some sensitive men.
No, I'm not saying there's not sensitive men, you know. I mean, I'm sensitive. It doesn't mean I don't want to fuck everybody that I see.
That's very sensitive of you.
Right. Well, I think that's quite the point. It's true. You need to understand, okay, here's the way we behave. And a big salute to the fact that, yes, I want to fuck everybody I see.
Yeah.
I want this. I want that. I want to do these incredibly nasty series of things that not every single woman I'm with is going to want, the whole shopping list.
Right.
And so I'm going to adapt to be this socially acceptable guy, but I'm not. You don't have to drop being the nasty guy. You don't have to descend into sexual boredom
to be
a socially decent guy.
But I think women, I mean, I just spoke about this yesterday on air. I was saying that I am two sides of a woman. Like, I want that first date, and I want to be courted, and I want all those romantic things, but at the same time, I want you to bend me over the kitchen table.
Absolutely.
And you know what I mean? Like, I
have your way with me.
Right. All over my face.
Nice.
Yeah. See, now you know why I asked you that question.
Listeners are like, is she ever going to stop talking about that on her face? Yes, once I get it soon.
You see, if you only realize how many men would oblige.
they're not my side. Oh, I know. And yeah, I got it.
Well, that's the way it works, you know. So it took you like three years to write the book, right?
Two and a half years to write my draft of it,
right.
And then 4 years to get it published.
Really? Yeah. 4 years in addition to those two and a half years?
At the end of those 2.5 years, it took me 4 years,
That takes a lot of commitment.
Yeah, it was. It was a long, long. And at first, I kept saying, "Oh, I'll be done in 6 months. I'll be done in 6 months." Yeah. And then when I started looking for agents and stuff, "Oh, this will be published next year. How cool!"
Yeah.
You just keep deluding yourself.
Yeah.
But that kind of kept you going forward, though, is that you just kept thinking it was going to happen. Even though your time frame was wrong, you were just like, "Oh, it'll happen then. It'll happen then." Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of competition, and then after it's published, you know, you hope it's going to do well and all that stuff, you know. So.
And that's what you met your wife in the midst of it, trying to get
in the middle of all this. In the middle of, I was almost finished with my version of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, she helped me finish with my version of it by saying, "You're not going to write about me in the book." Yeah. And to a certain extent, I was like, "Oh, I'd already started," but then I was like, "Oh, good. Well, that's the end of the book." Then.
Yeah.
I can't write it anymore.
Yeah.
But she is in the book. She's the woman called the last one.
I see. Okay, the
last there are no women's names in the book. They're not called like Priscilla or Andy or something. They're called the last one or the great one or the loved one.
So you were talking about actual people in there.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is not a fantasy. This is not fiction in any way.
I can tell they were real.
Yeah.
That related to every single one of them.
Oh, cool.
I was like, yeah, totally.
Yeah. I feel like it's a mistake to go at a subject like this from the point of view of how to make love to men from a generalist point of view. I believe that if you dig deep down enough into a specific topic, like something so ridiculously specific as how to make love to Adrian Colesbury, what I hoped is that people would start to feel relating. Mm. You know, they would start to relate to the topics, because if I've examined them deeply enough and thoroughly enough, if I've done my job, then you are going to see impulses of yours in there. You are going to see, maybe I've been in that kind of situation, and you're going to relate. So that's hopefully, if I've done
well, I enjoyed the charts and graphs about where you actually met them and how many days the relationship lasts, because there's always that thing out there like, you should never meet someone at a bar, or you should only meet them here, you should only meet them there. And like, some of them were more obvious than others, but you had some serious relationships that, you know, happened, you know, when you had sex the first time you met them.
Absolutely.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah, I think all those rules are nonsense.
It's just about the right person, period. It doesn't matter like who you are and how you are. It's about when you meet the right person.
Totally.
Yeah.
Mine's coming home.
There's a lot of right persons.
There are a lot of right persons.
Right later. Men.
So then you moved on to stand-up comedy. At what point did you realize you wanted to do that?
If the way you survived your childhood is making jokes instead of getting into fights, you could probably be a stand-up comic.
Really?
You know, I think you probably have from birth been practicing. If you have survived whatever situation you survived by being a wise ass, then you should try stand-up comedy. It's hard. So my dad was hilarious. Mm. And then I got my humor from him and from watching David Letterman, speaking of David Letterman.
Yeah.
And then that was the way I solved every problem in my life, is to make jokes.
Were you the funny kid in school?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And so then I just decided to take it up on a stage, which is a completely different challenge. It's completely different.
Oh, you have to have no fear.
No
fear. Get up there.
And unlike in a dinner party or office situation, when nobody is expecting you to crack a joke, and a joke is this welcomed interruption to whatever else is going on, when you're on stage, there are however many people looking at you, knowing that the next thing you're going to try to do is make them laugh.
Right. And they expect you to be really funny.
That's why I feel like I'm funny outside my normal life, because I do it in places I shouldn't. But if I'm on stage where I have to be funny, then I would so not be.
Different challenge. Yeah.
Totally.
Sherry, have you considered it? Doing stand-up?
Yeah, and then I consider not doing it. No, because that's my fear, is I think once the pressure comes on and stuff of that having to be funny, like I have a million thoughts that go through my head.
I know, and I can imagine how terrible it is if you bomb or something, you know?
It's horrible.
Yeah. But I promised myself, actually, earlier this year, I said that I would do one open mic night, because every agent that I have is like, you should try to get into stand-up if you want to do sitcoms.
I will totally
stand-up,
take
you
know? To an open mic.
I would totally throw up.
But, you know, I'll tell you what else would happen, is you would go up and you would see the cavalcade of terrible comics coming up before you, and you would be like, oh, my God, I am so much funnier than these people.
Let me on.
I think
my material would be funny. I think I said this to a person that was here that was a comic. I said, I think it's my fear of the improv, like, you know, the heckling and, you know, like having to deal with that and, like, trying to make small talk with the audience. I think that's where my fear comes
from. You don't have to do that at LA open mics. There are LA open mics that are very respectful in terms of now is your time to practice your act, because you only get like 3 to 5 minutes. Now is your time to practice. We're not going to heckle you. It's a bunch of comics in the room.
Oh.
You must
the most judgmental people are like your peers. Right. They're like, I'm so much funnier than her.
Right.
She's so bad. Thanks.
I will totally take you to an open mic if you need.
Yeah. There's a lot of terrible comics out there, for sure.
By the way, speaking about fear, do you know what fear stands for? I read this somewhere and I loved it, because they always say you shouldn't have fear in your life. False evidence appearing real.
Ah.
Oh.
Isn't that pretty great?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to that.
You just want to live in a fear-based world. I'm going to be afraid of everything so I can blame everybody else. Awesome, Sam.
That's funny.
It seems like, you know, most people, or let's say many people, or many incidences in people's lives are driven by fear. You know, I mean, sometimes you're angry because you're afraid, you know, and we just don't realize that.
Right.
You know?
I agree. Yeah.
Well, but that's when the faith comes in. And
I see.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's go to sharing with Sherry then. You better get ready.
Sherry. This song makes me want to dance. Can't you see, like, the intro to my talk show on TV? And I'm like, my hair is blowing in the wind.
Sounds good.
And then I end like this.
Yeah.
This big dorky smile.
We gotta count how many times she says Sherry in there.
Well, it was for my show when she first wrote it that I was having in my make-believe world.
Yeah. Definitely sounds like someone who loves herself.
I didn't write it. Damn it. You always ruined my moment.
No, not at all.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, first I want to share a positive news story that's happening in the world. Because, of course, there's so much negativity in the world. This woman in Arizona was driving. She has kidney problems, and so she's been going for dialysis. And this cab driver was picking her up to take her to dialysis. And I guess he was like a half hour late. And she was pretty pissed at him because she was missing her dialysis.
Yeah.
And so, like, I guess they got into some altercation, and then she let it go. And then the following week, it happened to be the same cab driver again that showed up. And they ended up speaking, and for about 3 months or so, he was taking her like 3 or 4 times a week, and they became friends. And she's been looking for a kidney donor, and so she's been going through all the screening process. And he looked at her the first day and said, I'll give you my kidney. And she was like, what? And he said, no, I will. And he had said that God had told him that he didn't really need it. And so they went and got him tested. And it's very rare, I guess, that people are exact matches. And her own son wasn't, but he was an exact match for her. And so next month he's going in and giving her his kidney. And this is to a complete stranger.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about people taking people's lives and all the, you know, we talk about crime and all these things and people, but what about the people that are actually saving people's lives?
Yeah.
They don't know, you know?
That's very noble.
Yeah. Wow. So I thought that was pretty inspiring.
Would you do that for someone?
No. No. I've never actually thought about it, but why not? I mean, if it's not going to kill me and can help somebody else.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
But he said, you know, it wasn't something that he said he ever thought about. He never thought about, like, you know, giving an organ, but... And even when she was going through dialysis, he wasn't thinking about it, but it was just that one moment that they were having that conversation that it just came over him that said, I'll give you mine.
Wow,
I know.
That's
so
amazing.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought
that was definitely cool.
Yeah.
And then my other thing, this is a little lengthy, but it's one of my absolute favorite things that I read, and I read it pretty often. And it's called Walk Your Own Path. And it's about, like, all of us being here on this earth and having our own light and, you know, things that we're given to share with the world. There's a reason why we're all different and none of us should try to be the same. But sometimes we get veered off that course and stuff by other things that happen to us. But if we always, well, whatever. Why am I going to summarize? I should just read it. Because it's written much better. But it is a little lengthy. But if you are listening and you can, this is going to be the cheesy part, and you can close your eyes and actually just think about what I'm saying, I think it's really good. I don't know. It moves me. And whenever I post it, people are really, like, blown away by it. So I'd like to share it with you.
Go ahead, Sherry. Share it with us.
Okay. Just me a little while. Have the courage and the heart, the centeredness to follow your own path, to be who you are and love being who you are, no matter what things may befall upon your path. Always shine your light out into the world. Your light is special. Never let anyone tell you otherwise. Never allow setbacks or even major betrayals to dampen your shining light and your being. You are everything you need to be, just as you are right now. You are the center of your own life. You are the beacon that shines and shows the way. In life's journey, you may encounter narrow paths blocked by avalanches, forks in the road shrouded in fog, deep valleys of darkness, and bright sunny days and meadows of golden poppies. That part's corny. It is all part of life. And as you walk your path, other people will join you for a time. A dear friend, a lover, a spouse, children and parents. And then they may go away. And through it all, the only constant is that you are you, that you have a core of truth within you and a path to walk. And if you allow your core of truth to tell you which fork in the road to take, if you allow that internal compass to tell you which mountain to climb, then you will well indeed have a fulfilling, interesting life. But if you go chasing after others, trying to make things be other than how they naturally are, then you'll find yourself suddenly awaking in a deep forest without knowing where to turn. You will find yourself lost and confused because you have lost touch with your own personal truth. And when this happens, you must just sit down in the forest, become very still, and return to yourself. You must reach down and find yourself again before you continue walking, or else you will simply go around in circles, becoming more desperate and alone and lost. You will sometimes meet someone you believe is a soulmate. You feel the connection on many levels, perhaps instantly. And as you get to know each other more, you begin to feel the connection deepen, and you feel that you must have an arrangement with this person that predated this lifetime. Do not assume, however, that this soul connection necessarily means that you're meant to be happily together for this lifetime. It may be that you're meant to be friends and allies, helping each other out. It may be that you're going to help each other in ways that even involve conflict and separation, but with an end result that is beneficial to you. It may mean that you are going to learn some lesson from each other and then go your separate ways. What you need to do with all relationships, including those that have that instant and deep connection, is let be. You need to allow all of life, including close relationships, flow and evolve. You need to let people be who they are, not what you want them to be. And above all, you must not try to control, push and prod, manipulate and orchestrate relationships. Be glad when others walk beside you, enjoy their company. Connect as closely and as deeply as you can, but always, always, always shine your own light and walk your own path and allow them to do the same.
Ooh,
yeah. That's the longest that will ever be, but I love that. Yeah. And that's by Carrie Hart.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I know it's a little overwhelming. And it's like, what are we listening to? I thought we were talking about cocks and cunts.
Yeah, well, you pretty much summarized life, I think.
Well, but I think that's important. Like, because we all look for each other and we want to complete each other and, like, you know, be that other thing. And we can't ever be that, you know, because you're always going to constantly be looking for something else to do that. And what happens if you don't find that? Does that mean that you're half of a person or you're not really fulfilled, you know?
Right.
It all comes from within and finding your own ways and stuff and having faith that you always will.
Yeah,
you know,
no, that was pretty great.
So that's all.
Are you a pretty positive person, Adrian?
I am pretty positive. I mean, I think all writers are kind of neurotic. One moment we think that we're reinventing the English language, and then the next moment you think I am a piece of crap. I am wasting everybody's time. I am horrible. And then the next moment, oh my God, I'm the greatest person in the world. Yeah. Oh, I'm terrible. Oh, I'm great. So you just kind of.
Bipolar is what we call that.
Yeah. You need to know that going in so you can do stuff to level it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that the best comedians are ones that are bitter about life.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. A little self-deprecating humor never hurts anybody.
Yeah, there you go. Or just be angry at things and rant all the time.
Yeah.
Of course you would like that, Sam. Yeah.
Comedians are a depressing bunch of people. Boy, you go to an open mic, you better be...
Wow, this makes me really want to go. Yeah. They'll all start ranting about me and how annoying I am. Hello, share your lights, hug each other, let's hug trees. And I can already see it happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a stand-up act in there.
That's
a good
there
set.
I'm sure there is. Love me while you fuck me.
Sounds good. It goes along with what you just read perfectly.
Oh, do you have another book? So are you in the midst or in thoughts of writing another one?
You know what? I'm thinking about writing a book about my experience as a volunteer sex ed teacher called... The working title is Questions Your Children Ask Me. So I blog about it on my blog if someone looks up my blog.
What is your blog?
It's at adriancolesbury.com. and you can find the blog there. But it's I write my answers to these crazy questions that kids ask or
kids say the best things.
Oh,
they really
God.
Do.
Yeah.
Magnificent.
How old are the kids that you teach?
They're like 14, 15. They're ninth graders.
I see. Okay, so they know what they're talking about, or at least they think they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They very much think they do. And you know, I sometimes teach classes to a whole class of pregnant ninth graders.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know,
they obviously needed your sex education last year.
Right.
There's an entire class full of pregnant teenagers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because some high schools, they want the girls to finish their education, which is very noble.
Right.
But they need child care and stuff, and they need prenatal care. And so they corral them into – they get them into a class. And so it's like you go – but that's the danger with high school kids is that when they have the first kid – apparently – I've never had kids. But apparently when you have that first kid, the first kid is kind of like a doll – for the first year, so they don't really get the message that having a kid is a major, major commitment that's going to change the rest of their lives. So they're really at hazard of getting pregnant again during that first year. So that, even though you'd think, whoop, too late,
right.
What we're trying to do at that point is stop the second kid.
Yeah.
Don't they have those education where they give kids like these like kind of live dolls
right.
that they have to take home, I think, of
them
on TV, like that pee and do cry all the times, so like give kids like an
they
experience
do.
Of what it's really like.
Yeah. No, and I think that's really great.
Yeah.
So you think teen pregnancy is quite widespread?
It's I mean it's pretty high and it's pretty
it's
consistent.
More than is comfortable, huh?
I don't think we as a society are comfortable with how many teens are having babies, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say the kids that you're teaching are most of them not virgins? Like most of them have had sex at this point?
I think it's probably like 30-50%. That's the statistic.
I was just curious if it was higher than like when we were younger and stuff. You know, because I had
it
sex at 15, and
is.
I think I was kind of average for my friends.
Yeah. I think most kids started 15, 16.
That's pretty consistent. I was reading this story about a research into highly religious people, like fundamentally religious people, and I'm trying to remember the exact number, but I think it was the average was 15.6 years old.
Oh, okay.
Was onset of sex. It's a really strong body drive.
Yeah.
It is really strong, and kids are pretty good about knowing what they're ready for.
Yeah.
You know?
So you think it's more of their body drive than like the fact that they're showing it more in the media now? And I mean, because it is all over everywhere.
It's all over. But it's in the media so much, then why isn't a 7-year-old doing something outrageous?
Right.
They're not, because they're not ready.
Yeah.
It's like it's not.
Yeah, your body just definitely talks to you whether you see it or not.
Yeah. You get hit by a gigantic club of hormones, and then you go out and you start doing what you feel like you need to do. And religion doesn't hold you back. None of these little systems that we think hold people back. 15 is way too early for fundamentalist people who are trying to be absent and stuff like that, but that's the average age of...
Oh, 15 was too young for me.
Yeah, was it?
So I had sex and I was just like, really? That's it?
Yeah.
Right.
That was not the first time. Then
young.
After a while it was better. But
yeah.
I mean, the first time I was like,
the first
oh.
time is usually like that, I think, because you're not experienced. You don't know what to expect, you know. And then
the guy said, are you sure you're a virgin?
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
Oh, wow. I was used
horrible.
To be a gymnast, okay? I'm sorry, it's not really hurting. Maybe you're just tiny. Okay, fuck you. Oh, and then you went to the bathroom and masturbated? Well, you're gay now, aren't you? Fine.
It sounds like you had a magical first time.
She's not bitter at all.
No.
I know he's listening, actually.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God. Are you sure you're a virgin?
No, he really did say that to me.
That
and I was like, yeah, I'm sure.
We talk a lot about that because there are communities in this town that are really concerned about a woman's virginity and does a woman bleed every time when she's a virgin and blah, blah, blah. So in an emergency-style fashion, we try to assure people that, no, they're not all bleeding all the time.
Yeah. That's what he said to me. He was like, you're not bleeding. You're not big enough to make
me. Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. Plus, I was doing it on Mother's Day. Like, for the first time.
Nice.
I know.
That is kinky. I like the way you think, lady.
Yeah, that's the least of my kinky stories. I guess I did start young.
Nice.
Have you counted how many partners you've had in your life?
I stopped.
You stopped?
No, but I don't have... Well... I don't have nearly as many as people think that I have.
Right.
I'm not going to give my number.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah. But you know. I think at 35 years old, I don't think that I've had that many.
Yeah.
Yeah. but you know, more than 11.
Yeah.
Right.
More than 11.
I was out of commission for so long, though.
Yeah.
I was out of commission.
Yeah. But most of my, honestly, what I would say, though, is I have not had a lot of consistent sex.
Yeah.
Like with one person.
I see.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I mean, they come back.
She looks for the boredom. It is not a problem in my book.
See, I don't consider it boredom. I'm like, then you learn more about each other and you can explore and do all that. I've actually never even really made love to a guy.
It's really?
Not sad. Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
Well, I told you my last relationship was in 94.
Yeah.
So, you know, to actually like make love and be like in love with someone that I'm having sex with, I haven't really had that.
I know.
It's coming, though.
That's why you're going crazy.
So I want love now. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to make love. On my face. I feel like I'm like in some like cartoon that constantly, like every joke is like, on my face. On my face.
That's your avatar. That's your character.
Yeah.
That's part of
your
my
next
stand-up.
Book should be How to Make Love to Sherry.
My book's going to be called On My Face.
No wonder you're not finding love, you know.
I'm just finding
you
it
want kinky
on
sex.
My face. All right, now I'm annoying. On that note.
Yeah. So, Adrian, what's next for you now? You've got a book published. You said you're writing a novel now?
I'm working on, in my blog, I'm working out the next book, or one idea for the next book, which is Questions Your Children Ask Me, which is my responses to those questions.
Right.
And I'm also working on, there's a beta, it's a very rough beta, but there's a beta for a website. It's at howtomakelovetoo.com, where you go and you fill out a sex survey, and it generates a book about how to make love to you.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
So I put your name in and your preferences, and it generates pretty much
that's
text.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that.
Cool.
I mean, I could write the book, but that's really neat, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I think it's a fun way for people to encounter it, and people have been having fun on it. But it's in a beta mode now, so if anybody wants to go and participate in the beta, definitely go over there. Yeah.
HowToMakeLove2.com.
HowToMakeLove2.com.
Okay.
How to Make Love to You, Sam.
Let's
we never talk about
time.
You. Let's put you under
we'll
the spot. How
that.
Many women have you been with?
I don't know. Not nearly enough.
Exactly. There's the right answer.
Not nearly enough.
Do I tell the truth or do I say what I told my wife?
Yeah. I mean, when you listen to someone like Ron Jeremy who screwed like 3,000-4,000 women, you know, you feel
gross.
Inadequate as a man.
That's just gross. Should be happy you're not him.
Yeah, we're about conquests. That's what we are about.
There we go, generalizing.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, the book is amazing, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Sam.
It,
thank you,
Sherry. I think Sherry enjoyed it
I
as
loved
well.
It.
And
let me
I think
finish
it's
it.
Great wow. light reading. It's funny. And
it's a good airplane read, I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
People get
that.
On an airplane.
And at a bar.
And a bar reading.
And at a bar. It was a really good conversation piece, I'm telling you. People
Lovely.
Kept coming up to me and talking to me about it.
Yeah.
I'll go back there tonight and finish it.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a great title, you know. I mean, it's something like, because the first thing you think about is, why would I want to know how to make love to an Adrian Colesberg?
Right.
And... But then
you see the girl riding the guy on the cover, and you're like, all right, I'll open it up.
That's a great graphic.
Yeah.
That's so terrific.
So now, as far as the title, do you get to choose the title, or do the editors?
They would have changed it if they didn't like it, because the title and the cover and everything is pretty much up to them. But it was my title.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Do you sit at night and read it to your wife?
I should.
You should. It might be a little nice foreplay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure she
I was
kind of
turned on. I was like, I want to meet this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, because it's really nice when you meet someone who's really passionate about sex and passionate about all women, though. You know,
right.
And like
right.
accepting. I thought that was kind of attractive.
I'm glad that comes through. That,
yeah.
Yeah. Because I like me some ladies.
Yeah. There you go. It's definitely a great way to meet women, I'm sure. Except you're not on the
market.
That's
why I said he's
right.
married now.
I'm
like,
the market.
I was like, you're going to get laid after this book comes out.
I know, bad timing possibly. But
it's exactly as it should be.
Okay, so cool. So we plugged your website. Also, your blog is adriancolesberry.com.
That's right.
And what else? Do you want to plug anything else?
I am doing a book signing in Austin, Texas on the 8th. I'm actually leaving today.
Really?
For Austin.
That's nice.
Oh, wow.
Then back here, I am doing a book signing. Believe it or not, I got a call from a girl in a Barnes & Noble in Redlands, Texas. In Redlands, California. Sorry. So Redlands, and November 6th, I will be at Redlands, California at 5:30. And then back here at Skylight Books in Silver Lake, I will be at November 16th. I will be doing a signing there at 7. And then I'm going to be doing a reading at November 14th at a show in the Valley called Lit Up.
Oh, nice.
Oh, sounds so, pretty good.
Yeah. That's exciting. Yeah. I'm happy for you.
Doing a reading off a book like this.
I know. So I say it's good foreplay.
It's actually a chapter that didn't make it into the book. And so it's for a reading show that
a little
woman,
more tame. Tamer than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, much success with your book.
Thank you so much.
Yes, congratulations. I always admire people that write books and publish them.
I admire people that follow through.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything on my shelf.
The book takes a long time. Yeah.
It does, yeah. Well, thank you, guys. This was fantastic.
Definitely. You're a lot of fun. You're a very funny man, and we wish you a lot of luck with your comedy. Do you want to plug any of that? I mean, do you have any shows?
No, I don't have dates coming up now. So.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and everybody get the book at Amazon and I'm sure all bookstores and everything.
Barnes & Noble's and Skylight and Book Soup and all the places around town.
Awesome. And that's it. Sherry, thanks for sharing.
Thanks for letting me share.
And thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back here live tomorrow.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the Morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.